Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to Genesis 39. We read for our text part of verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. Genesis 39 and verse 2. Inspired Holy Word of God declaring that the Lord was with Joseph in this present path, this present trial that he was walking in. Many years later, in the land of Canaan, after the Lord had dealt in a chastening way with the children of Israel, in the book of Judges, the children of Israel were under the hand of Midian, the reason being that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. We read in Judges chapter 6. And then there appeared to Gideon and an angel came to him and spoke to him and said that his presence was with him. And he had this question. Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, this is verse 13, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the answer of the Lord was to look upon him and say, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. The way the Lord's presence had been evidenced with the children of Israel was that he had not left them to go on in evil and in a wicked way, but that he had chastened them. He brought them into bondage with Midian. He brought them to cry unto the Lord, and now he is bringing them out of this time of chastening and delivering them through Gideon. And so the Lord can rightly say, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valour. And yet we might say, and Joseph may well have felt and said as well, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? What a reminder we have in Judges, that we may, if we are the Lord's people, in fact we will have times when we sin, when the Lord's hand will be upon us in chastening and correction, and it was seen that our enemies, and in reality our enemies, will triumph over us. Our sins, things do not go well, the hand of the Lord going out against us. The children of Israel proved that in many times. But when the Lord has done what he means to have done in that path of correction and tribulation, then it is that his presence is known again. And yet really in reality, the Lord has not forsaken his people, but is with them. Nevertheless, the times in the Word of God when it is clearly stated in the inspired word that the Lord is with his people, it is those times that it is evidenced outwardly, it is seen, it is acknowledged, as well as recorded so in the inspired word of God. Now, how much Joseph knew in his own soul the sweetness and blessings of the Lord's presence, we don't know. We do know in Psalm 105 that until his time came, the word of the Lord tried him. And I've no doubt in this path, being sent away from his father, his brethren, and how they dealt with him. We have a little indication of that, how he named it his sons, and meaning that he was a stranger in a strange land, and that the Lord had looked upon him in his affliction. That is later on, after this time, of course. But in this time, the time of being sold as a slave, and then to be falsely accused and cast into prison, Joseph knew what it was to have severe tribulation and severe trial. And yet in spite of that, we have the testimony four times in this chapter that the Lord was with him. The word of our text, and the Lord was with Joseph. And we see how that was evidenced. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So the Lord, even in that place of servitude as a servant, evidenced his presence with him in making that which he did to prosper. And his master noticed it. So we read in verse 3, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. It was seen in his life, that blessing of the Lord in those things that he did, even in this path of tribulation and trial. Then when he was cast into prison, the next scene in this chapter, we read in verse 20 how that he was there in the prison. And then verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. How was he with Joseph? How was it evidenced? And showed him mercy and gave him favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Wonder how many times we take it as a sign of the Lord with us and mercy, that the Lord gives us favour in the eyes of those with whom we have to do, and in Joseph's case, and it may be in ours, in the eyes of those that have it in their power to do us harm or to make our lives very difficult indeed. But here we don't only read that he was given favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison, but we read that he also, the keeper, knew and could see that the Lord was with him. We read in verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Joseph was a prisoner, and he was in prison. And yet in that prison, the Lord evidenced his presence with him, and in what he was able to do in that prison, no doubt only of a limited scope of what he could do, yet the Lord was with him and made it to prosper. And so four times in this path of tribulation, now Joseph may have reasoned, he might have felt like Gideon those years later, if the Lord be with me, why did he permit me to be falsely accused? Why did he permit that my master believe his wife and not me, after all the service that I'd served him and all that he trusted me with? Could not he trust or ask for my account and believe my account? Why did he just throw me straight into prison? If the Lord was with me, surely this would not have happened. And he could have gone back further and thought, well, if the Lord was with him, why was he sold? Why did he permit that he should find out where his brothers were? Why couldn't he have gone home to his father? How many times we have the whys in our life as questioning what has happened and perhaps putting a construction on it that the Lord could not possibly be with us if this was the case. And yet we see in the midst of these things, there are things that could be seen, how the Lord was with Joseph, even though there were those things outwardly, like his servitude, like his falsely accusing in prison, they're outward things, but there are also outward things that show the Lord was with him. And I wonder how that is with your life and with mine. We might select some outward things that we're passing through, things that are done, things that affect us, things that profoundly affect our lives, like Joseph. We may dwell upon those and yet pass by other aspects, maybe even the very same things here. Joseph had the Lord with him. And when he was a servant, then no doubt his scope of doing good for his master was of great scope. And God blessed that which he did. When he was put in prison, a lot less he was able to do, but still it is noticed he did. And we might look upon things that we're in and think, well, how can we be of any use? How can we be of any blessing? How can the Lord be with us? And yet in the circumstances that the Lord has placed us in, are we able to trace, as the Holy Spirit does here with Joseph, that we do have the Lord's presence with us in that circumstance? And that we are not left to think, well, the only way that we can judge the Lord's presence with us is by getting out of our trial and out of our trouble. As if Joseph would say, the only way I can see the Lord's presence with me is to be brought back to my father, or out of this prison, or believed by my master. Are we making lines for the Lord to run in? Are we prescribing how his help, his presence shall be known? And are we forgetting that the Lord has said that it is through much tribulation we must enter the kingdom? Just a reminder of a few of those times that are through the scriptures where it is noted that the Lord's presence, the Lord with one, was evidenced by outward blessing. It was so with Isaac. The king of Egypt had noticed the blessing that the Lord had blessed him with. And though they had chased and pursued him for the waters of the wells that he digged, yet afterwards they went out after him. They saw the Lord was with him. They didn't want to alienate with him. We have the same with Joshua. We are told after that Jericho had been taken that the Lord was with him. His fame was noised in all of that country by how the Lord had appeared and the walls of Jericho fell down. What a contrast from those 38 years before, when the children of Israel had been plagued because of their unbelief, would not go up into Canaan. And then they'd said, well, we have done wrong. They convinced of that because of how the Lord plagued them. And they said then they would go up. But Moses said, go not up, for the Lord is not with you. And then they were defeated by their enemies in that time. Very different when the Lord gave Joshua such deliverance. And then we read with Judah, the tribe of Joseph, that they were also given those deliverances as they took over the promised land and fought for their inheritances. But sometimes it is very interesting, especially with Judah, the tribe of Judah, when they took their inheritance, because we read this in Judges chapter 1, verse 19, and the Lord was with Judah, and this is how it is evidenced, and he drove out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. Now, how easy it would be for us to say, well, how could the Lord be with Judah? If he was with Judah, the chariots of iron would have meant nothing. He would have delivered them in spite of those chariots of iron. But the inspired word of God says, it was the Lord with them that they drove out the inhabitants of the mountain. But obviously the Lord's will and the Lord's purpose was that at this time they should not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, and the reason given is because of the chariots of iron. We might as well have a situation we can go so far. The Lord's helped us to go so far, but we can't go further. And there's a temporal reason why. Maybe a personal circumstances, and we reason it in this way: if the Lord was with us, then we would go the whole way. Or like with Judah, we'd take out those chariots of iron as well. They taught here we are not to just rule out the Lord's presence with us completely, because the Lord says, this far shall be what you shall do. And then later on, further on, these things are written for us to compare in our own lives and the things that we do, if we are to discern the Lord's presence with us, and especially if we're not to get too cast down and low. Because in our minds we often will say, well, the only way we'll know the Lord is with us is if this is done, if that is done. Then we have the case of Samuel. We read the Lord when he first began to speak to him, and the Lord was with him. And how was that evidence? That he let none of his words fall to the ground. Those things that he prophesied and said, the Lord brought to pass. The Lord confirmed the word that he was truly one of his servants and to be a prophet of the Lord. We then have a most solemn contrast between David and Saul, King Saul. The Lord was departed from Saul. He had disobeyed him, rejected the Lord, hadn't destroyed the Amalekites, forced himself, offered the offerings, couldn't wait for the Lord. And so the Lord rejected him. And he gave David his spirit. Well, with Saul, we see he went from one extreme to another, still had forms of religion, forms of severity in banning the people from eating when they had been in battle. If the people hadn't have intervened, he would even had his own son Jonathan slain because he disobeyed his foolish orders. Saul was just really drifting along, left on his own, without wisdom, understanding, consistency. But Saul saw something different in David. He saw that however much he sought, King Saul sought to slay David, the Lord preserved him in everywhere he went. He saw that the Lord gave him favour in the eyes of the people, that he had the presence of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord with him, but not with Saul. And that made Saul hate David even more. But again, it was noticed in an outward way how the Lord went before David, and yet through a time when David was greatly persecuted by Saul, a time when it must have been a great trial to David. Why is it I've been anointed king? Why is it that I've got to go through this? One time he said, one day I shall perish at the hand of Saul. And he goes over to the Philistines. How low David got, even though the Lord was with him in a way so clear that Saul noticed it. We have the same with Jehoshaphat. The Lord was with him. How was that evidence that he established his kingdom in his hand? What about with the scattered brethren in Acts? They were scattered upon the persecution, be it Stephen, when Stephen was stoned. But again, we read the Lord was with them and a great number believed. And we have these times through the scriptures where we are told of the Lord's presence and the circumstances. Circumstances of persecution, of trial, of bondage. Circumstances where the Lord's help was given in some matters but withheld in others. The Lord's presence is to be known in an outward way, but we would never advocate what some would say was a prosperity gospel. That is, that the way that we know the blessing of the Lord is by outward prosperity. Those that pursue that look upon their wealth, their riches, their lands, all that they have as an evidence of the Lord's blessing to be upon them. That way is not set forth in the Word of God. Our affections are not to be on things on this earth. And the Lord has blessed those that are poor. Is not setting before us here, well, if the Lord blesses and prospers, then we are going to be rich, powerful and wealthy, worldly men. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow within. But it doesn't entangle back with the world or put in Satan's hand. There are those things that we may clearly join together, if that is our design. I hope it is, that we may know the Lord's presence with us. How? How do we know the Lord's presence with us? Well, I want to suggest three things that will go together and we'll see this. You can see this with dear Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. The first thing we'll look at is that we fear the Lord and walk in his ways. That is trusting in his salvation. That is vital fast. Then secondly, we are not exempted from a path of tribulation. Our Lord was very emphatic that he must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom. In me ye shall have peace, in the world ye shall have tribulation. And it was the apostles that emphasized that ye must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom. And then thirdly, that others will notice the Lord is with us by his help and by his providence. Firstly, then, there will be the fear of the Lord and to walk in his ways. Be a solemn thing if the Lord was supposedly with a person, but they were a worldly person. They were a person that sought their own will, not the Lord's. They did not fear the Lord. They did not walk in his ways. They sought to their own strength and might for their salvation, rested upon their works and not upon the grace of God. If then we could add the other two bits to it and say, well, I am a child of God, but we must say that what must come first is that that soul be quickened into spiritual life, truly know the Lord, fear the Lord, and walk in his ways. Those that have suffered persecution, we think of Joseph, we think of Daniel, we think of the apostles, the saints of God. The first thing that marks them out is that they were a people that served the Lord. Joshua, he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Jehoshaphat was known as a king, a godly king, a king that served the Lord and worshipped him. And that must come first. Not to look at outward things or even the approval of others or whatever may be interpreted, if we ourselves personally have not the work of God in our heart. This is the work of God, that ye believe in him whom God hath sent. The work of the Holy Spirit is to lead a sinner to Christ. He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. It is the work of the Spirit that brings about the new birth, to be born again of the Spirit of God. And before we ever look at any other tokens, then there must be that work in us which causes us to walk in his ways and to actually live upon him. It is a solemn thing if a person is not concerned about what they believe, how they believe, how they walk, and what they feed upon, and all they are asking, Lord, show me a token that I am yours. I've even heard one of the Lord's servants relate accounts of people that have said that if I am one of your people, cause that it stop raining now, and it's raining outside, and it did stop raining. But what did that prove? Did it prove that they're one of the children of God? We're not to look for unrelated signs like that, tokens like that, saying, Lord, do this and do that. If we're going down the path of Satan saying to Christ, if thou art the Christ, you command these stones and make them to be bread. And we can turn around and say, prove that I'm a child of God. Do this, do that at my bidding. But the Lord says of his children, that they are called, and they are chosen, and they are faithful, and they are taught of the Lord, and that they walk in his ways, that he gives them repentance, and in repentance he gives them that token of forgiveness. He gives them the love of God, to God and to their brethren. We know that we have passed from death unto life in that we love the brethren. Those evidences of being saved, the greatest ones, though it is a great blessing to be able to look back to a Damascus Road experience, a real change, the blind made to see, the dead quickened into spiritual life, and to realize and know that change and difference. Yet as we go on, really the best, the blessed tokens are that we might live upon Christ. Paul says, in him we live and move and have our being. And then he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him. To live a life of faith and prayer, to delight in him, to delight in his word and in fellowship with him in the closet and with his people, and to feed upon his word, They are the evidences of a living soul with a living appetite, with a hunger and thirst after righteousness. What good would a token be that we'd be able to say, the Lord answered my prayer and he gave me this token. I know I'm a child of God because this and this happened. But in our life, there is no faith. We don't trust in him. We sit in the house of God, but we don't feed upon the word. We're glad when the amen and the sermon's gone. We don't feast upon that. We're not looking unto Christ. We don't desire his presence. What good would the clearest token years gone by be if today we were not living upon him and feeding on him by precious faith? And if our life was still all here. In Hebrews, when it speaks of those with faith, it speaks of those that this life is a wilderness, and they're declaring plainly they seek a country which is above. Their affection is set on things above. Sometimes it is lovely to see the Lord's aged saints coming near their journey's end. And it is as if they've done with earth. And their whole thoughts and affections and desires are on things above. And it can be seen. Heard the accounts from years ago, both men I didn't know, Mr. Funnell, Marcus's father, wasn't out long in the ministry. It's while we were in Australia. But it was said whenever he preached, he seemed to be always in heaven. And it wasn't long before the Lord took him there. I believe Mr. Mulvey, many years before that, was the same. But there's many that are not ministers, that in all their conversation, their demeanour, they are thinking oft of a future habitation. They have a desired haven. And they long to get there. They think of it often. They're that real clear evidence, and those around them can notice it. They can see it. Here is a people that the Lord has prepared a mansion for, and we can see he's preparing them for it. They want to be there. They look forward to it. So the best token, if you like, is the life of God within, a walking with the Lord, and a love to him and his dear people. And that must be the first thing. What kind of people are we? Are we spiritually quickened? And what are our lives like? However much we might look through the scriptures, and we look at those times when it said the Lord was with this person and that person, those people, firstly, they were godly people. They were those that feared the Lord. They knew the Lord. And may we be numbered with them in that way. Well, the second thing is this, that we are not exempted from tribulation. In Psalm 73, we have a solemn case where Asaph is viewing the ungodly, and he sees that they have no troubles, no bands in their death. They prosper. If we just took prospering as a token of being the Lord's people, then look at Psalm 73, we'll see those and we'll say, well, surely the Lord is with them. Surely they have the Lord's blessing because everything they do prospers. They have wealth, they have lands, they have all that their heart could wish. And even spiritually, in the presence of death, they're not fearing or troubled at all. But then the psalmist shows what happens beyond the grave, how quickly they go down into the pit, how soon that is destroyed. but with the people of God. Poor and afflicted, says the hymn writer, Lord, are thine, among the great unfit to shine. And Paul says when he writes to the Corinthians that God hath not chosen those that are mighty and noble, but few of them have been chosen, but those that are poor, those that are foolish, counted by the world as such. But it's also those in affliction. I've chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. The people of God often know what it is to have great afflictions and trials and tribulations in their lives. And Joseph, we see that. We see this time in his life that must have been such a great trial. And a great tribulation, referred to, as we mentioned, in Psalm 105, and set forth here, reflected in the names that he called his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Don't think, dear friends, that if we are the Lord's people, he'll exempt us from trouble, from things going wrong, from men rising against us, from providence going out against us. Dear Jacob, he says, all these things are against me. They weren't, but that's how he felt when he viewed it so. We think of the people of God like Jeremiah. What a sad position he was raised up to be, a voice to a people that was to go down into captivity. Or Daniel to go down into captivity in the palace of a king that did not fear God. The path of the Hebrew children cast into the fire. They that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But also those things that we come across, those things that are appointed of God, that will be chosen by God, what is yours, what is mine, tribulation. And we won't be exempted that. It is very different for every one of God's children. Some it is very severe. Some it is not so severe. Some it's in a physical way. And others it will be in a mental way. It's different in each case. Don't be tempted to measure your tribulation with another's. Or don't be tempted to look upon another and say, like one said to Francis Scovel, can't understand how you can preach, you've got no tribulation in your life. And he just opened the door from his study, and then that man could see the afflicted son that he had to care for and the trial that he had with him. Sometimes outwardly, men cannot see the burden, the trial, the affliction that is very, very heavy for you or I. But then thirdly, how shall we know the Lord is with us? Others notice the Lord is with us. And how do they notice? By his help and by his providence. And again, it will be in those ways, not how we decide it shall be seen. It may be a dear brother has a terrible path of discouragement, and yet as they continue in that path, many would think, why do they not fail? Why do they not give up? Why do they not be crushed under this? And they marvel at the help and the grace given to actually continue in that path. Another will have a path of affliction, such illness, such wearing, debilitating afflictions. And yet they notice, others notice, how they're able to bear those and to go day by day in them. Then there are other times, like Laban and Bethuel, when they were told by Abraham's servant of how the Lord had answered his prayer at the well and how he'd been directed to their home and brought to the house of his master's brethren. And they say, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. When we're able to relate the chain of events that glorify the Lord, that show his handiwork and what he has done, and others notice it, they see it, to the honour and glory of God. The children of Israel in returning from Babylon, and they'd been bidden to build the temple of the Lord, but they'd had discouragements in the way, and so they stopped building it. But then the Lord touched. He touched their pockets, he touched their farming, he touched their goods. And it was the prophets Haggai and Zechariah that came and interpreted to them and said, it is because ye have left the house of the Lord waste that God has touched all these things. In other words, the opposite of noticing that the Lord was with them, they noticed the hand of the Lord gone out against them. And the Lord kindly sent his prophets and told them why. There's really the two sides to it. If others are to notice, if we are to notice, if something is an outward thing especially, that the Lord's hand is gone out against us, then we are also to notice the other side when he goes with us and for us. We are to know those both extremes. We think of with the children of Israel going into the promised land. We mentioned about Joshua, but how soon, when they took the accursed thing, they found the opposite side. The Lord was not with them, put them to worse before Ai, which was but a small nation, until they had dealt with the sin and Achan. And then he was with them again. How was that evidenced? The Lord blessed them and helped them, and they overcame Ai. And so there's the two sides. It is watching providence, watching the Lord's hand. And especially if we know the difference between having the Lord with us and the Lord not with us. Joshua had a stark contrast there. Famous on one side, wonderful deliverance with Jericho and a terrible defeat with Ai. And though they made it a matter of prayer, the Lord says to Joshua, arise up, Israel hath sinned. It's a blessed thing that our God, when he chastens like that, when he deals like that, will make the one that is being chastened know why. Why he's withdrawn that help, why he is not with them. So it will be those things that others will see, that the Lord is with his people. But in that, it will be not dictating to the Lord, not saying, well, if the Lord is with them, that this and this must be so. A change in circumstance or position. Not saying of Joseph, well, how can you say the Lord is with you? You're still in prison. Not saying with Joseph, how can you say the Lord was with you when your master treated you like that at that time? So maybe be tender concerning this thing. May we really desire the Lord to be with us. May we know what it is to have the Lord's presence with us in those ways of tribulation and difficulty and trial. May we be an exercised people. Joseph, it was said, until his time came, until he was fully delivered and fully brought out and fully brought to Pharaoh and able to say, God, ye meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Until that time, the word of the Lord tried him. Yes, over this time that he was still said, the Lord was with him. The word of the Lord still tried him. I would that the word this evening might be to us an encouraging word and not discouraging word, that it might be a prompting word that we desire the Lord's presence in a scriptural way to be with us, and we look not for wrong evidences and tokens, but truly be a godly people, a people that live upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and that our fruitfulness comes from him. We're able to say with the Apostle Paul, if we have an area of labour or whatever it is we're doing, I laboured more abundantly than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. The Apostle Paul had the Lord's help and blessing, but it didn't keep him from being shipwrecked 3 times, from being a prisoner, from being beaten with rods, from suffering at the hand of false brethren and his fellow countrymen in all the places that he went. And yet the Lord was with him. May it be said of us, as in the word of our text with Joseph, and the Lord was with Joseph. Amen.